Hi, this is Brian with Brian's Spain Domain, and we are here with our second episode from our new series on Spanish wine. I guess the best way to start off before we get to the wines is to try and understand a few things about the regions themselves and a few basic notions about Spanish wine overall. Let's start with the regions. They are generally broken down into a classification system. And the standard term for most Spanish wine regions is called denominación de origen, which translates as denomination of origin, literally at least, and it refers to a specific kind of wine made with specific grape varieties from a specific place. And as a rule, they are historic wine regions from long ago. The DOs, as I call them, in theory were created to ensure that the traditional wines from a specific region were respected and preserved. Now that we mention this, DOs can also be used for specific types of cheese, olive oil, beef, seafood, vegetables, honey, and so on. Anyway, back to wine. The winemakers usually can only use the admitted wine grape varieties that were traditionally used, as well as the method and the types of wines. And there are all sorts of rules and regulations there to make sure that happens. An example would be, for example, Rías Baixas in the northwest in Galicia, which specializes in white wine made with the famous Albariño grape. Now, you can blend it with other local varieties, but you won't ever see it mixed in with Chardonnay or Sauvignon Blanc, for example. Why? Because those aren't traditional varieties from that area, and so they're not acceptable. DOs are good things in that they ensure quality, at least in theory, as well as protect local heritage. But they also have been subject to some criticism. They can sometimes be too conservative. They're said to be controlled by just the largest wineries of the region. And data, like the quality of the grapes from a particular year, the famous vintage, cannot be trusted as the people or the winemakers have the commercial impact in mind and tend to embellish the reports. I say that because maybe 30 years ago, 35 years ago, you could have a bad year, and it would say a bad year or a below average year. That's impossible to see now. No one miraculously has a bad year anymore. But anyway, DOs have a lot of positive things about them, and we're going to be following them throughout this series. There is a higher level of DO called the DOCA, which is a kind of excellence, nirvana, for the winemakers. Everything about the process and the quality is higher and stricter, and there are only two regions that boast this level: Rioja, naturally, and Priorat, which is a region from Catalonia. Then there is a classification called Vinos de Calidad con Indicación Geográfica, which sort of translates as quality wine from a specific location. This is almost like a DO, but without all the strict rules. There aren't many of them, and a number of them aspire to be a DO one day. If you ever see a wine that has the letters VC before the name of the region, that's what we're talking about. The next category is a little bit below that. It's called Vinos de la Tierra, and it is abbreviated with VT. Here, once again, there are some regions aspiring to make it to the major leagues, so to speak, but others are sort of like invented regions that allow winemakers to break from the restraints of their DO and work with more freedom. And that's true. You will find wineries that belong to a specific DO, but also will produce wine for the VT because it allows them to do something different. There are over 40 VTs in Spain, and in places like Andalusia in the south. You can find a lot of them in some really interesting wines. The lowest level would be the famous vinos de mesa or table wine. Just about everything can go into this category. One thing that cannot be indicated on the label is the origin of the wine or the grape variety. The lack of information as well as sort of the anonymity both sort of tend to give this classification a bad reputation. But that doesn't mean it's necessarily bad wine. A lot of it can be surprisingly good or at least acceptable. It's important to keep our expectations low, but believe it or not, you will find some wineries that will make vino de mesa, and it's expensive and excellent. But that's not the norm. Anyway, the final category is actually at the top of the wine quality pyramid, and that's because it makes some of the highest in quality and even the most expensive, and it's known as vinos de pago. A pago here does not refer to the Spanish word for payment, but rather for the word for vineyard or estate. These are independent wineries from all over Spain that basically live by their own rules. They make their own kinds of wine, they employ the grape varieties they feel like, and they choose the methods they want to. That allows for a lot of freedom to make different kinds of wine. Before there was just about a handful of them, we're talking maybe 20 years ago, but now there are close to 20, if not 20. A lot of them are located in La Mancha, which may surprise some, but it shouldn't, because it's a region that has been struggling to remove the stigma of being the producer of ordinary and unexciting wine, so certain wineries want to break from that. I have a special fondness for Vinos de Pago because the first winery I ever visited happened to be one. It's called Dominio de Valdepusa by Carlos Falcó, the former Marqués de Griñón. Carlos passed away in 2020, and he was unfortunately one of the earliest sort of famous victims of that devastating first wave of COVID. He met me personally that day, we're talking 20 years ago, 25 years ago maybe, no, 20 years ago, and we had lunch together, just the two of us. I was terrified because I barely knew a thing about wine, let alone Spanish wine. And I thought this was going to be a disaster, but the man could not have been nicer. In fact, the title of my book, Let's Open a Bottle, refers to a sentence that he uttered after we had a few minutes of exchanging pleasantries just to meet each other. He basically said that. He said, let's open a bottle. And it sort of was the perfect way to describe my initiation into this journey. We'll talk about them when the time comes, but for the most part, at least initially, we'll focus mainly on the DOs because they make the vast majority of Spanish wine that we know and see in the stores. Now, the second and final subject that I wanted to bring up with you today was to talk about the kinds of wine that you will find in Spain. This is very basic here. We're not going to get into too much detail. We have white wine and all its versions. Most of it is young wine, though there are some oak-aged or oak-fermented wines, but that's not that common. Then you have rosés and all their versions. They're popular, especially popular in a few regions in the north. You have sparkling wine, known mainly as cava, C-A-V-A, and it is mostly produced in the northeast of Spain in a region called Catalonia. In fact, cava is almost synonymous with Catalonia, though it's not exclusive to that part of the country. You have sherry, the mighty sherry, the great sherry, a fortified wine and a world unto itself. This is just an unbelievable subject. I'll have to tell you more about it when the time comes. It's made in the region of Andalusia. You have some sweet wines. Spain actually had a long, long tradition of sweet wines, so you can find some all over the place. And then you get to red wine, because it's probably the most common type of wine from Spain. Different climates, different soils, different grape varieties all contribute to a myriad of options. The age of the red wines are often classified in the following ways. You have vino joven, or young wine, usually from the most recent year. No oak aging involved. Some bottles will indicate this by saying it's young wine, but they don't necessarily have to. If there's no mention of aging, and it's pretty inexpensive, let's be honest here, then there probably hasn't been any. Roble, that literally means oak. Despite the name, it generally has the least time in an oak barrel of all the aging techniques. It's sort of a recent incorporation. Roble is somewhere between a joven, or a young wine, and a crianza. The time in the oak barrel is usually somewhere between 4 and 8 months. Then you have the crianza. This is the next level of aging. It requires 1 year in an oak barrel and 2 years in a bottle before reaching the market. Crianzas are very common because they are generally reasonably priced and often sort of good middle-of-the-road choice. Then you have reservas. Similar story, but more time. Reservas require 1 year in a barrel, at least generally, and 3 years in a bottle before being released. The extra time often allows it to become a little bit more delicate. The wine chosen for them is often of a higher quality. Though available in the fourth year, reservas will improve with time and are considered to be at their best years later, 7-10 years. They're a bit pricier, but many are within reason. You can find Riojas reservas for less than 10 euros. Finally, the Gran Reserva, which is sort of the granddaddy of them all. This has 2 years in oak, 3 years in bottle before they see the light of day. Gran Reservas, as I said, these are classics. But to be honest, you don't see them that often anymore. The regions that still produce them on a consistent scale, I would say, are Rioja and Ribera del Duero, possibly places like Douro. The wines at their best are delicate, sophisticated, and delicious, but they can be also very expensive and outside the budget of many. They also can be at their best 15 years after the vintage, if you're patient enough. I'm generally not that patient. Anyway, and that's just the basics. There are a lot of wines out there that don't fall under any of those categories because either the winemakers prefer to use their own names or terms or nothing, or they have their own aging systems. So you have to pay attention to the label to learn more. In other words, it may not say Roble, Crianza, or Reservas, but it could be an aged wine. And I think we'll stop there for today. That was a lot. That should be enough to get us started in that department. We know about the different regions, or at least the classifications, and some basics about the kinds of wines. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us with any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture as we possibly can. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.